having a discussion today with a friend on the topic of evil. And the assumption people have when they hear that we believe God is in control of the entire universe, moment by moment. And the inevitable conclusion is reached that, well, you must believe that God is also in control of the evil things that happen. And of course, we do. Otherwise, you would have to say God is in complete control of the universe except for all the evil things that happen every day. And I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to me, maybe I'm just lately seeing the glass half empty, that many more evil things happen than good things. That's probably not true. Because I think the good things that happen to us every day, we are accustomed to them and we take them completely for granted. I.e., our next breath, our heartbeat, that gravity continues to work on our behalf so that things that we set down on the table don't fly up and hit us in the head. That's a continual blessing that we take for granted. So that doesn't count in our little checkbook of evil things versus good things. So I have fallen into this trap as well. I realize as I make this video that I think that my life is overwhelmed with evil. So many evil things, so many bad things in the world, in my life, in your life, so many struggles, so many difficulties. It's because, yeah, that breath, yeah. Or the fact that as I'm speaking to you, I have no discernible pain in my body. That is a blessing. And there, it just happened again. And it just happened again. And it just happened again. All of that is good. My joints articulate. I'm showing you my elbow on the car cam here. I want to put it close to the microphone. So as I articulate my elbow joint, do you hear anything? No. Otherwise, it would sound like this or like this. And it would be an awful thing. And yet, how many times a day do I bend my elbow and it works? And it doesn't bend the other way. What if it bent this way? I have a feeling it would be more than a minor inconvenience. I mentioned things we set on the table not flying into the air. I'm just made me think that the one thing I set on the table that I would not want to fly in the air and hit me in the head would be a cup of hot coffee. How do I know about this? Because every morning I have a cup of hot coffee. I don't even count that as a good thing. Shame on me. And now that I'm making this video, it seems to me that the good things that happen completely overwhelm the evil things that happen to us. And I'm going to get back to my topic of evil. But the problem is that, in fact, I'm going to do that now. We concentrate on the things that disquiet us. Bad news that we hear, bad news that we think is coming. Our imaginations run rampant with thoughts of what could happen that will never actually happen. Our default setting, as much as we claim to be optimists, I'll speak for myself. Our default setting is probably, we're in a dangerous place and things are going to get worse. Well, we know from scripture that actually that's the case worldwide. This is why the doses of evil that we take in every day ought to be managed. We must manage the dosage of evil that we take in all day. I have a friend who calls the globe on the internet looking for every single conspiracy theory, every single death due to violence, and loads it on her shoulders regularly. That would easily make you forget that your elbow articulates and your coffee mug doesn't fly up and hit you in the head. It makes you forget that. Or that you can see, or that you can hear, or that you can speak, or that you can taste, or that the sun shines occasionally. Yeah, boy, oh boy. This is why Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And maybe I should just make my talk about this, because here is the curse of television and really the internet. The curse of television and the internet is peace and prosperity and contentment make for lousy television. Nobody cares about peace, contentment, that we have enough to eat, to drink, to wear, that we have a roof over our heads. That's boring stuff. No, we care about a wildfire in California, or an earthquake in Tokyo, or a flood in the Mississippi River Valley. We care about a meteor that's heading to Earth, or we care about a mass shooting in Orlando, or a terrorist attack in Brussels. Those are the things that the giant eye, the television camera, seeks out and gathers from all corners of the earth and dumps on you. And we readily receive it. In fact, we invite it. Anytime you turn on your television, you're inviting it. Anytime you log on to the internet, unless you're watching the Three Stooges, which I do, and this is what I recommend, go to YouTube, type in Three Stooges. And instead of current events. I've always noticed people who say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take the constant bad news. Really? Well, my suggestion is then to turn off the bad news. I raised my family without a television on purpose. Well, actually, part of it was on purpose. What happened is my wife and I were moving into her aunt and uncle's home in the country in Greenwich, Ohio, that her aunt and uncle hadn't been there for a couple years because they were in a nursing home, couldn't take care of themselves anymore. So the house was laying empty for a couple years, and some vandal had gone in and stolen the television set. Well, this house was offered to my wife and me, and at the time we were looking for any living opportunity, and so it was a welcome. For very low rent, we got to stay in this house. But God had arranged for the television to be stolen. And I thank that thief today. Whoever came in and stole the television from 3321 Rome Greenwich Road in Greenwich, Ohio, I thank you. Because that helped me to make the decision that a television will not be in my home. Why? Because of the evil influences that would come upon my children. It would grab them by the throat and pull them in and scare the hell out of them. And me as well. And I read a book called The Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. And one of the arguments, I've never forgotten it, and I share it with you today. One of the arguments is that television is made for the dramatic. It's made for war, not peace. It's made for turmoil, not tranquility. And it goes around and seeks out the turmoil, seeks out the war, and again, it gathers it together in one place and dumps it on your head at 9 and 11 or 6 p.m., whenever your news comes on. And the newscasters, as the famous song Dirty Laundry by Don Henley goes, you got the bubble-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5. She will tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. I failed to mention plane crashes. Yeah. Political upheaval. Assassinations. Murders. Plane crashes. Yes. Disasters of every stripe come into your home by invitation. So my answer to those people who say that I don't think I can take anymore, my answer is don't take anymore. Stop it. Stop it. Because it's your own fault. Do you know what would happen if you unplugged? Nothing. Because I'm convinced that a lot of the angst we have is based on the collection of evils around the world, that we now have the technology, the technological capability of going all around the world, bringing every evil to us. What did Jesus say, though? Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. And I wish he would have said this, but he didn't. He should have said, including the evils taking place in far corners of the earth. Of course, he didn't have to say that, because in that day there was no way, except a courier on a horse, to bring the news of a faraway place. And it had to be big for a guy to get on a horse or to on foot run to you to tell you what it is. And you would find out about it long after it actually occurred, when the trauma itself had died down and it would become soft focused by the time you got it. More nuance would be added to it, more detail, and it would be less, you would have less of an emotional reaction. Well, you're still getting the news. Yeah, you're still getting the news for what it is. But even by the time the courier got to your town, the courier, when he heard the news, would be aghast, shocked, dismayed. By the time he reached your town, he would have had time to assimilate it, to think about it, to put it in perspective of his life, perspective of the world. And by the time he got to you, you're not going to believe what happened. Instead of, oh my God, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That visceral reaction we have to bad news. Now, Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And I believe he meant, if I may interpret here a little bit, I think he meant sufficient unto the day in your life is the evil thereof. Because into the life of any person comes enough evil. On the average day, it's nothing catastrophic or earth-shattering. Yes, I know there are the terrible days where you get a bad diagnosis, or you find out your child is divorced or dead. Just, there are horrible, horrible days. Those are the life-changing things. I'm really not talking about those now, even though I'll talk about those tomorrow. I'll talk about what I intended to talk about, which is we believe that evil is of God, because God himself created it, Isaiah 45:7, but it doesn't mean we have to like it. This is what people think, that we with a lilt in our voice and a twinkle in our toes, we just love to tell you how God creates evil. And we're just fine with it. We're at peace all the time concerning it. No, we're not. But our feeling concerning it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that evil is of God. In fact, all is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think verse 18. All is of God. And again, Isaiah 45:7, very plain. God created evil. I will tell you tomorrow what a denial of that looks like. It looks very foolish. A denial of God being behind evil. I had a guy, I'm going to share this with you tomorrow. I had a guy tell me that in his mind, he could not accept that a God of goodness and love could do evil. Tomorrow, I will define evil for you, and I will tell you the danger and the ultimate stupidity of disassociating God from bad things that happen. But back to you today. I have learned myself, since I've turned this camera on 14 minutes ago, that many more good things happen to me every day than evil things. I realize that now because I take for granted the good things that happen. Whether it's a good night's sleep, or even an average night's sleep, whether there's still a roof over my head, all my friends are still intact today. It might change tomorrow, but today, no emergencies. No emergencies. But Jesus said, didn't he, that the day will provide you, today in your own life, will provide you sufficient amount of evil to keep you humble, to keep you needy, needy of a Savior, needy of the snatching away, needy of being delivered from here. It always amazes me. The people who are content in this world, they seem to be happy here. Does anything bad ever happen to them? It seems, I mean, not that I'm wishing bad things to happen to them, but you hear people with these idyllic lives and they get on Facebook, I guess. I hear rumors because, you know, I don't get on Facebook. I don't want, listen, my life is complicated enough. I don't want other people's complications being loaded on me. Facebook is another complete evil, if you ask me. It's ridiculous to take other people's lives, hundreds of people's lives, and to absorb the details of their lives. And they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So every picture you see on Facebook is 1,000 words entering in your brain. 1,000 word pictures entering into your brain, and your brain is trying to assimilate all that. In the meantime, you're trying to live your own life, and you wonder why people take antidepressants or why people are stressed out. And then they try to heal their stress by drinking coffee. What's that going to do? I drink one cup of coffee a day in the morning. As I said, I consider it a blessing. If I drink more than one, I get weird. It's no good for me. Oh my goodness, Facebook. You're trying to live more than one life than your own. And you're comparing yourself with other people. That's an evil. I guess my talk today has ended up being, number one, appreciate that more good happens to you than evil as long as you stay within the sphere of what's happening in your world today. Don't project what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't grieve over what happened in the past. I know, easier said than done, believe me. I can't do it either. But it's an ideal, I have to say it. Maybe I'll listen to my own video and start doing it. That would be great. That's the ideal. That's Jesus's wonderful advice. Transadministrational truth. Yes, I can find a truth in the four accounts of Jesus Christ's life and apply it to me, a Pauline guy. It can be done. I just did it. I do want you to try this at home. It's easy. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It kind of suggests one other thing too, that Jesus is not panicking over the fact. He doesn't say sufficient unto the day is the evil, but I didn't do it. God didn't do it. None of it. None of it is coming from me. None of it's coming from my Father. Very calmly, he mentioned the word evil. It's sufficient unto the day. Like, there's going to be enough evils. How do you know? How do you know? Wait, how do you know, Jesus, that evil will come at all? Could be that if I dodge it, if I go over here, if I go over there, maybe no evil will happen to me. People try to arrange their lives that way. But Jesus seems to say that it will come. It will come. How do you know, Jesus? Because he knows that his Father, God, created both good and evil, and that evil is a necessary ingredient. It's the necessary grit. It's the necessary contrast to an appreciation of the good things. So enough of that comes into your life without you adding to it by either inviting it into you via television or the internet, by either going onto Facebook and bringing other people's problems into your life. You should care about the problems of the people in your immediate circle, your family members, those you live with. But are you supposed to care about all your people on Facebook? Let's be realistic. If you try it, you're going to go crazy. You're going to go crazy. So more good things happen than evil every day. That's a relief to me. Wow. I just realize it now. It doesn't do me any good to mourn evils of the past or to fear evils of the future that may not even happen. And if I limit my world in a divine way, as Jesus says, then apparently Jesus said the evil, sufficient unto the day is the evil. I think a corollary there is you will have sufficient resources to deal with that evil as long as it's limited to that day and your sphere. You will have the resources. God will bring them up. when needed, and you will be able to deal with them. However, if you're stretching out your world, as it's so easy to do now, we're all interconnected all across the globe. If you're stretching out your world and inviting evils in from other people's lives or from other countries, from other political movements, from natural disasters, and I want to say you're on your own. But even then, we still have a God who is merciful and who cares for us. But let's be practical.